Today's program was brought to you by Mood Magazine, a new international quarterly publication about music and food. For more information, visit moodmusicfood.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
It's 7:30 p.m. Welcome to Metropolitan Ave. I'm your host for the next 40 minutes, DJ Lady DM. If you're tuning in for the first time, Metropolitan Avenue brings you the best independent musical talents, most of whom are discovered performing in non-traditional venues here in New York City. If you miss our live broadcast, you'll find us archived on the heritageradionetwork.org website. And for those of you on the go, pick us up as a podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Tonight's in-studio musical guest is Susanna Schoffel. Did I say that right?
It's Schoffel, but Schoffel. That's close enough.
I'm so happy I asked. You have such a smooth voice. Who will be performing live during the second half of the show, but first we'll be speaking about music and sync licensing with Joseph Miller. Joseph is a music supervisor, business developer, and broker to artists and placement companies. He's been a panelist and judge at songwriting and artist pitch events and presents work as a music coordinator at a major sports television network here in New York City. Hi, Joseph, and welcome to Metropolitan Ave. Great
Hi,
to finally get you
me.
Down.
Thank you.
Awesome. How'd you get your start in the music business?
I started when I was a kid. I was playing music, writing music, recording my own music. I started recording other bands, setting up shows, and that kind of segued into my degree in music industry from college.
You went to Sony...
I went to SUNY Oneonta.
Okay.
Upstate in the mountains, nothing except bars and a pizza place.
I'm from the town near SUNY Binghamton, actually. Okay. I was born there.
So. Binghamton's a nicer town. But, a really good music industry program. After that, I was lucky to start working right away in music publishing. About halfway through my college stint, though, I was really interested in music supervision and... It was something I knew I was going to do. So before I graduated, I was reading any book I can on it, reading up on different music supervisors that were working already. So right when I started working in music publishing, I was able to take some time and actually attempt being a music supervisor on my own. And now I'm working at I have a full-time day job that supplements my music supervision endeavor on the side, working with a bunch of music libraries, and so things are going in the right direction.
Awesome. My goal today is to focus on music in sync licensing. Can you give our listeners a short description of what music sync and sync licensing is, and most importantly, describe the role of the artist and songwriter?
Music licensing is basically every content, whether it be TV, film, video games. Advertisements, most of them usually require some kind of music that supplements the visual image. So licensing the music, you would license something, a pre-existing song that an artist already has in their catalog, or you can go to a composer and have something composed originally to that specific brief, so that this advertisement needs this kind of music. They'll send it out to a composer. It's called... So they would write something to spec to that particular brief.
Great. And how difficult is that process of actually getting a song licensed? And what does that depend on?
Well, it depends. It usually comes down to money. That there's a big money aspect and who's actually asking for it. If it's a big... a major Hollywood studio, it's going to be a lot more involved than some small, no-budget independent film based in, you know, Kentucky or something. But basically the process is the same for both. You have to have some kind of license. It has to get approved by the director, and if there's a music supervisor, agreements, and then eventually negotiating the license fee.
And you sometimes negotiate with a publishing company and or an artist. Correct?
Right. The song copyright itself, there's two sides of it. There's going to be the publishing side, which actually owns the song, and then you have to go to the master entity owner, which is usually a record label. A lot of times this, a lot of times today, most artists don't have a record deal, so a lot of times they own the copyright in both sides as well, publishing and the master recording.
And as a music supervisor, what kind of obstacles do you sometimes come across?
Well, that's tricky because a lot of people will want to use a cover sometimes, and they'll think that, okay, so it has to be from this person and this person, but it's not. You can do a cover of a song that was written, you know, let's say 10, 15 years ago, and you might have to track down the original members of the band that wrote the song. Hopefully some or all of them are still alive. Otherwise, you have to go to whoever owns the estate of that song. So, you know, aunts and uncles that they pass the copyright over to. It's tricky, but it's really about, it comes down to you having contacts already and being able to access those contacts quickly and within a very limited time frame.
That's great to get your perspective as a supervisor. And it sounds like detective work almost.
It really is, actually. It is. And that's why a director will hire somebody like a music supervisor, because they have these contacts, they have the network established, and that's because they know how to approach these people and how to get it.
And what kind of lead times are you working with most of the time?
It depends. Some TV things, you'll have to turn something around in a day or a week. Some films can last a couple of years to actually, you know, produce and package and distribute and screen somewhere. So there's a bunch of different levels of, you know, so you know that you need to get a certain song at a certain time. You know when you have some flexibility, but it kind of spans the gamut. You can have to do it, you know, the end of that day, or you might have a couple of years to clear it.
And what type of criteria are you working with? For instance, what are your clients asking you for in terms of, like...
My clients meaning, like, directors?
It could be an agency, right? As well,
an advertising agency, yeah, or something. What are they asking me?
Could you describe that a little bit?
Sure. Like, it's
how the conversation goes, literally.
I've dealt with people that have said, you know, I have this film and I don't really care what kind of music is in it. You figure it out, you take care of it. So that lets me do the creative and the administrative process too. Some people, advertising agencies especially, they know exactly what they want. And if anything is slightly off what they were asking, they're not going to accept it. And usually they might go to me, but they'll also go to 50 other people and send out the same thing. So everybody's really kind of competing for the same spot. Luckily, if you're lucky enough, you might be competing with 5 people. But it's very... as far as I know, it's rare that you're going to be the one person that's getting the opportunity to provide music for that particular spot, because there's just too much on the line. You know, if you don't deliver, they're kind of, you know, a creek without a paddle.
Thanks for providing that perspective. What are some tips that you would give a talented songwriter who wanted to get their foot in the door in this industry?
I think now a lot of artists have to be realistic as to if their music is ready to be licensed. And that can mean a couple different things. It can mean if the song is just good enough, if it's original. It has to, the recording itself has to be spot on. It has to be top tier, top level, broadcast ready. That's what the term we like to use. It's got to sound just as good as any song on the radio. Otherwise, it cannot be used.
Okay. And what are some hot genres of music or bands being licensed in TV and advertising right now?
In TV right now, there's a big trend on... Well, it's not a trend. It's how it's always kind of been. Having a composer compose something original for the TV show, for the episode. Once in a while, I think TV, they like to use a lot of... Well, it depends. Something like Breaking Bad... Thomas Galovic, the music supervisor, he liked to find cues that were almost kind of more classics, kind of folksy, Americana, a little bluesy too as well. And then if you contrast that with a show like Entourage, they use a lot of hip-hop and like alternative rock. So TV, there's no real set like like, there's no real...
So the music coordinator or the supervisor for that show really has influence over what that show
right.
sounds like sonically.
Oh, yeah, of course, absolutely. But advertising is a little different. Advertising, it's a little bit more limited in what kind of genres they like to use. They like to use a lot of big anthemic stuff. It used to be a lot of Black Keys sounding stuff. Now, a little while ago, it was like a lot of Mumford and Sons. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of... It's really about uplifting stuff, anthemic stuff,
so,
Americana, and a lot of oohs and ahs instead of like actual lyrics.
Can you give us an example?
Something like Americana, folksy?
Oh,
uplifting,
no.
I guess.
Sorry,
Joseph.
You were looking at me.
I'm looking at you. I'm giving you the crazy eye because I hear you moving around.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, a prime example is Mumford & Sons. Absolutely.
And who are some of the major players in the industry right now, and how do you get to them?
The major players, when you're approaching licensing your music, the top guy is the music supervisor. They're the hardest to get a hold of. That usually comes down to you have to have some kind of established relationship with this person. It's very hard to just kind of cold pitch your material to them. The next route to take would be to go with a music publisher, which they would own a portion of your song, and they would actually exploit the song for sync purpose based on the context that they have. You can also go a music library path as well. Some music libraries will accept any kind of music. Some music libraries are very particular. So there's a couple options you can use to have people pitch you music on your behalf.
I really want to get specific, though, on a personal level. How would people get in touch with someone like yourself? Like, what tips or advice would you give?
I think we want to be... People have to understand that we don't have a lot of time. You know, we can't go through 100, 200 emails a day that are all just pitches from people we don't know. We just don't have time for that. As much as I would like to, and the sad reality is that a lot of it is probably garbage anyway. And that's kind of justifies why we won't do that.
What's your qualification for garbage, though? Is it just audio quality is not good enough?
Yeah, main thing is audio quality. The way that people type out their email, their introduction. It has to be brief, to the point. It has to be professional, but it also has to be laid back, and we kind of have to get a feeling that, okay, you know, I want to get a beer with this person too.
What are some of the worst types of emails or introductions you've read? What would you recommend people not do?
Almost anything on LinkedIn. People pitching their songs through LinkedIn. I'm not going to be too specific, but that's an immediate red flag for me and for a lot of other people.
Okay. It seems very specific. This, my little segue question, has a lot to do with the station. Our station is actually focused on food. And where do people like yourself hang out in the city? Like, what restaurants do you feel music supervisors or people in the industry are going to? Where can they find you and start to meet you?
I know we definitely like to go to the bars. I don't know.
Well, which ones are you going to? Which do you recommend?
A lot of times where music supervisors and licensing professionals will kind of congregate is usually during some kind of professional event, whether it's a networking event, a mixer, a show that a record label or a sync agency might be putting on. Where do we go? We go, a lot of them I find to be they're in Manhattan, maybe just because of the convenience. You know, we don't go to the standard. We don't go to, I can't even tell you, like, the really fancy place. We like to go to, like, the nitty-gritty divey places that are, they're low-key, they're chill, they're laid-back. And it's just about meeting the, you know, it's about the people that are there. And hopefully there's good music too.
And if you're having a power lunch and trying to impress the client, you know, where are you going to eat, actually? What are some of your favorite spots for business?
Uh, Percy's Pizza. I've had many meetings at Percy's Pizza.
Where is that?
It's a dollar pizza slice in the village.
And what's your favorite pizza to order?
I just got a regular slice from them, and it's great.
That's really funny.
we're all very, very busy, and we like to make it brief, you know. It's not like L.A. where everybody wines and dines. In New York, everybody's, you know, thinking about the next meeting they have lined up. So it's got to be quick, and we'll know right away if we want to work with you or not. Mm-hmm. So that's why it should be, you know, something casual and nothing too crazy.
I think we may have answered this a little bit, but what can music supervisors expect from the songwriters and producers that they work with? Like, what do you expect from them?
What we should expect
on a professional level, or
again, it comes down to being professional, but you know, keep that creative edge to you. You know, we know that you're an artist. We don't expect you to know every single copyright law and, you know, term within an agreement that we might throw at you, but you should know a good chunk of what, you know, you as an artist, your music is a product and you're a business. You need to know how your business is run, who owns what portion of every song that you have, what the splits are. That stuff, it's critical. If we see that you don't know that, that you're missing something, or you have to ask us, oh, I don't know what that means. What does that mean? Or let me ask my lawyer. I'll get back to you. That's gonna turn us off greatly. That's gonna discourage us from working with you on that particular project and from, you know, working with you down in the future. Mm. But it's got to be the top notch recording. Your music needs to be. A lot of people like it to be meta tagged. So it has to have all the track name, the writer information, and when we plug it in, when we insert it into iTunes, I don't want to see an unknown track. I don't want to see track 01, track 02 come up. It's got to be ready to go. At the end, I think a lot of people, whenever they do get a chance to sift through their iTunes library, anything that they can't recognize right away, it's just going to go in the garbage. It has to be that way, unfortunately.
Because you're literally sifting through like hundreds of songs trying to find certain things
clients. Yes. Some people sift through, well, not these kind of people. They have people doing it for themselves, but the big A-list music supervisors a month, you know, they'll have to go through thousands of songs. That's the reality of it. So part of it, I think, is to people submitting material that they just shouldn't submit. That this, they need somebody to say no, that this isn't good. You need to do this and this. It's kind of like a catch-22. Like, we don't have the time to tell you what's wrong with it, but you know, and these artists aren't getting educated. So, but there's plenty of resources. There's plenty of books. There's plenty of blogs that will tell you how to do it. And people, it's very clear when people don't take the time to learn even just a little bit.
What do you recommend?
I would have a Google alert set up for music licensing,
mm-hmm.
Music supervisor, film and TV music, and anything like that. And just read whatever comes up. And it's good to know what companies are landing certain spots, what companies are partnering, what music supervisors are working on this project. That's all stuff you need to know, too.
You'll start being able to read names and companies and
sure.
Fill out yep. Who's what. Hopefully, like, find their picture on LinkedIn and at least know when you're going to that dive bar who you're looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I think LinkedIn's a little dated. I advise people to not use it anymore. It's just too cluttered now. But, you know, if that's the only way for somebody to reach out, then by all means, go for it. But I don't think you'll garner much success, personally.
All right. I really appreciate your perspective, and thank you so much for coming down to the show.
Oh, thank you. I had a great time. Thank you.
All right. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with our in-studio musical guest, Susanna Schoffel.
You're cute.
I'm trying.
That's awesome. That's great.
Schoffel, right?
Schoffel.
Schoffel.
Today's program was brought to you by Mood Magazine, a new international quarterly publication about music and food. For more information, visit moodmusicfood.com.
Welcome back to Metropolitan Ave. I'm your host, DJ Lady DM. Thanks for keeping your digital dial tuned to Brooklyn. If you could please introduce yourself, your name and your instrument.
My name is Susanna Schoffel, and I'm here with my acoustic guitar and my voice.
Awesome. I'd love to let our audience hear why I asked you to come on the show. Do you have a song for us? And
yeah.
Can you tell us what it's called?
This song is called Archer, and it goes a little something like this.
You a fair tree. Your kisses for my mind. I swear I leave it all behind. Forget who I was. No need to know. I'll give it all for the thrill of the show. So here it comes. The beating of those distant drums. Signaling your departure. Oh, Archer, you were shot too low. A steady eye but a shaky bow. And don't think I did not feel that blow, 'cause I did, and I do, and I'm blown away by you. Oh, for you, don't have a clue. Oh. Do you? So the horoscope was right. No, those stars, they never lie. The universe collided for you and I. Oh, but why this? And why I this way? See, my heart is a year, and your love is a day. So here it comes, the beating of those distant drums, signaling your departure. Oh, Archer, you shot too low. A steady eye but a shaky bow. And don't think I did not feel that blow, 'cause I did. Oh, and I do. Yes, and I'm blown away by you. Oh, but you don't have a clue. Do you? Do you? My way again. Well, who's to say I will not let you in? Oh, 'cause seeing you, it makes my skin grow pink. Oh, you shot too low. Yes, you shot too low. Oh, you shot too low. You shot too low. And still I seek.
I usually don't ask, but what's the story behind that song? If you don't mind telling.
No, not at all. It's it's called Archer. It kind of has the theme of Cupid. It's kind of a song about Cupid missing his mark, so to speak, you know. I felt like at the time I wrote it, I was kind of in a relationship that I was, it was sort of a, I guess you would say, sort of more of a chemical romance, you know. It was, but I knew it was wrong on so many levels. So I felt, you know, as a songwriter, you kind of try to search for metaphors and interesting ways to present an idea or perspective. And it just came to me. I think actually what came to me first when writing that song is the line about this guy's departure. And then it was kind of silly. I was like, what rhymes with departure? Archer rhymes. And then it was just kind of like all came together. The idea of, oh, that's kind of cool. I'll kind of use this metaphor of Cupid missing their mark with their arrow. So anyway, million ways to write a song.
You're an independent artist that chose to self-publish and release music. What has your journey in the music industry been like, and how did you get your start?
I have probably been going at it now for about 10 years, and I grew up doing music, but probably professionally have been kind of plugging away 10 years. I got my start, I'm from Austin, Texas originally, and Austin has a very live music culture, and luckily you have access as a teenager basically to start performing in clubs and forming bands, and so I was kind of exposed to the live music career kind of option pretty early on. I knew that you didn't have to be a Mariah Carey to make it. I saw plenty of kind of independent musicians who actually made a pretty decent living, you know, just playing in bars and venues every week and getting their songs on the local radio. And so I went to school in Santa Fe. I went to a college out there called College of Santa Fe and majored in music and audio production, and then moved back to Austin, formed a band, recorded my first album, just kind of took it literally myself to the local radio stations there and got it on the radio and started building my following in Austin by playing out every week and just kind of pushing the live thing. And then a few years later, recorded my second album and released that last year. And it actually did just get picked up by a very small boutique label. So that's kind of exciting. It's actually being re-released, redistributed in November 19th. So it's going to have new packaging and kind of a new sequence order. But it's exciting because when I released it very independently. You know, mainly my fans in Austin have it and you know, some people throughout the world. But it's exciting because now it kind of gets a proper release. So
I'm really grateful to be able to support independent musicians. You've had some highlights and big breaks in your career, though.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Last year was really interesting. I decided to do something that I never thought I would do. I went on reality TV. I auditioned for this show called The Voice that's on NBC, and I actually made it on. And so I got about 3 rounds in. I was on Blake Shelton's team. It's really funny talking about it because it really is. There were definitely like a few of us on there who were like, what are we doing here? We're kind of like the indie musicians who felt it was like kind of strange to be like singing this pop music. And I was really lucky though. I feel like my songs that they gave me were great. Like I got to audition with Landslide by Fleetwood Mac. It's one of my favorites. And then I did Florence and the Machine, Dog Days Are Over. And then I got kicked off, of course, when I did Bob Marley, the Soul Rebel. So they were like, Blake Shelton was like, who's Bob Marley? So didn't really make sense for the show, but it made sense for me because my music is it's diverse. It draws from, I'm very influenced by Bob Marley, but I'm also extremely influenced by Stevie Nicks and, you know, Fleetwood Mac. So it was a really fun way to show my personality on national television. And I got a ton of exposure from it. The press was really great to me. I got some really great write-ups in Rolling Stone and so it was awesome. You know, it was for whatever it's worth, the ups and downs of reality television, you know, it was great. So it was a good experience.
We're glad you made it untainted to the other side.
Yeah, exactly. I honestly, when I tell, I'm like, I made it just as far as I wanted to. I didn't really want to go too much further because it is a little tricky. You really start to question, you know, how it's going to affect the way people see you, and the contracts are like, you know, this thick. It's a book full of contracts, and you it just gets a little tricky. So for me personally, it was kind of the perfect amount of exposure of television time. So yeah.
Do we have time for more exposure? I would love to hear another song.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, it's refreshing to be able to play my own song. So I'm going to do a song called Race Car. This is another one from my album that's going to be re-released in November. Actually, I'm going to play this one with my finger, sorry. Mm-hmm.
don't mind being hard to find. I don't care if I'm not there. I like to hide my tail outside of the usual borderlines, 'cause I need to slow down the speed of my heart. It runs like a race car, and I never knew a place like this. This gone.
The name of that song?
That song is called Race Car, and it was actually, this goes into Joe's world a little bit, it got licensed for an HGTV commercial this year, so that was kind of cool. That was like one of my first little commercial accolades. They used it's if you heard the actual like the studio version, it's like completely different than what you just heard. It's electric and it has a lot of like rock and dub kind of production on it. So
from the artist side, what was that experience like?
Well, that was interesting. That was actually I won, like it was a contest. A lot of like magazines and different you know, music related organizations host these contests to kind of get your songs featured in different things for exposure. This was done by Paste Magazine, and it was kind of a contest to see, you know, I think they, you know, millions of people submitted. I made it into the top 10, and then it made it into an HGTV commercial for like 6 weeks it ran or something like that. So it was sort of less money and more exposure on that one, but I have done ones before. I had that first song I played, actually, Archer, was placed in a Dell Windows commercial like 2 years ago. So that was, they just used like a snippet of it, but it was a really beautifully animated commercial. It was kind of cool to see a song get featured in that. And that one paid. But sometimes you do, like I did this one mainly for exposure. It was just to kind of get the song out there. I needed some buzz from it. So, yeah.
Are you pursuing more music and sync licensing opportunities?
Yeah, absolutely.
And how does it, what's the headspace like versus writing for yourself?
Okay, I see. So, well, I have, like, my songs are, I have a publishing company, actually, and so my songs get pitched via my publishing company, but every now and then I'll also get, I have some kind of connections to some guys who work in publishing, and they'll send me every now and then, hey, we're looking for a song for an AT&T commercial that, you know, has... You mentioned the Mumford and Sons thing. It has banjo and, you know, glockenspiel, and it's very cutesy and folksy and has a lot of harmony. So I'll work on something really quick and I'll draft something and send it to them. So it is, I actually really enjoy doing that, because it kind of, one, I think it's kind of neat because it gives you the whole limitation of time aspect. So you have to come up with something creative really fast. And it's just like a good exercise to do, I think, as a songwriter, to be able to come up with different sounds. It, you know, kind of gets you out of your normal box, you know. So, but I haven't made a placement from that yet, you know, kind of a quick turnaround sort of thing. So.
And what are some of your favorite venues to play here in New York City?
I love playing Rockwood Music Hall. Stage 1 and Stage 2 are really fun. They actually have a new Stage 3 too. But that's a place that always sounds amazing. Like, as a singer, you know, I know when I go in there, my voice is going to sound just like I want it to sound. And the crowd is always great. It's a real listening room. The living room is also nice. I've been playing lately at a great bar in Chelsea called Mandalay Bar. I'm actually playing there next Tuesday.
You're playing Mandalay? Yeah. So Sleep No More?
Sleep No More,
awesome. Yeah. I'm upstairs DJing.
No way!
So I'll come down. And
there you go.
What nights are you on?
I am on next Tuesday. That would be the 8th, I believe, October 8th.
What time 11? Does it open on Tuesdays? Because on the weekends it opens at 2 a.m.
So, yeah, exactly. Mandalay Bar during the week opens to the public at 10:30 p.m. And the show starts at 11 p.m.
How long is your set?
It's an hour, 11 to 12.
I would and love it's free. To come down because
yeah,
I love
my whole,
that space.
My full band will be there too, so it'll be really nice.
Can you describe the space to people?
So Mandalay,
it's awesome.
Yeah, Mandalay Bar is what it's really cool. It's this, it feels like you're walking into a 1939 jazz club. It's, you know, there's a grand piano. Yeah, it's like, feels like a speakeasy. There's absinthe punch at the bar and it's
red velvet.
Yeah, red velvet everywhere. Very dim candlelights and feathers. And it just feels like you're going to, a flapper is going to come out on stage and do a little, you know, dance for you. It's really, really a cool atmosphere, and it sounds great in there. And so I play there. I'm actually doing Halloween shows there, too, on the 30th and 31st.
I hope to be, too.
Yeah, that's great. I love that we have that connection. So I guess that's how maybe we know Tony. But anyway, so, yeah, that's kind of what I have going on. And I've got a couple out-of-town dates, too, towards the end of the month. It's all on my website, but I have, like, a show at a winery upstate. I have
you do have a New York
gigs.
Show coming up. I think I saw on the 9th. Though.
Yes, the 9th. I'm playing at Bowery Electric. Okay. There's this really great weekly showcase run there called Old Soul Revival. Mm-hmm. And they feature like a couple different musicians every week. And so I'm playing at 11 o'clock next Wednesday, the 9th. Yeah.
What's your website and where can people...
Yeah.
Like, hear your music?
My website is SusannaShoffel.com, which is SusannaShoffel. It's not the easiest name, but you can also find me on Facebook and Twitter and all that good stuff. And you can hear my music. I'm on iTunes. I'm on Amazon. I'm on pretty much every streaming, you know, Spotify, SoundCloud, all the popular things, Bandcamp. So
we're leading into our last question.
Yeah.
Do you have any special concerns or regimens around food while you're recording or touring?
I try not to do a lot of dairy because dairy obviously causes phlegm, but I'm not so great at that. I do have a weakness for cheese and ice cream, but I don't drink milk. You know, I'm definitely into the almond milk. but, you know, I try to exercise a lot. Exercising, I find if I stay exercising regularly, usually my voice really responds really well. You're working out your lungs. You're getting your endorphins pumped. It's actually working out right before a show is pretty much the best thing I feel like I can do for my voice. So sometimes I'll do a really quick, like, little, just to get my heart rate up, little, you know, some jumping jacks or something. So it's good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We're already out of time tonight. Yeah. Thanks again to my guest, Joseph Miller, and our musical guest, Susanna, say the last name.
Schoffel.
I've been in German-speaking countries too long, so okay. I'm not going to slaughter that. I'd like to thank my support team here, Ariel Frank, Lila Salam, and Joe for engineering today's show. You'll find tonight's broadcast of Metropolitan Ave and many other great shows archived on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org website. You can also visit Heritage Radio Network on iTunes and Stitcher. See you next week, and thanks for listening. What song is this? Do you want to?
It's called Golden Fires. It's a brand new one. So,
you've been trying to get away from what you've known. You've been flying to places where you've never flown. And your feelings are ones you never even show. Stop your cry. Get yourself up out of there. They've been lying. All those voices in your head start applying. Your own true voice instead. It's just dust on the window, and you must trust what you know. There's somewhere in the love down below, all your golden fires glow.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.